Shalom to all. In today's Afi Mishnah, we're going to learn Masechas Talmud, Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin, all the way through Perek Hey Mishnah Hey. So now we continue describing this. Mishnah Zayin tells us Balo the Pishpash at Tzvaini. He would go to the northern Pishpash. That's on the right side, as we just said. It's that side entrance. And Ushnei Pishpashin Hoyla the Shara Gadol. There are two side entrances to the Shara Gadol. Again, the Shara Gadol is the entrance to the Ulam and the Heichal. So we had two different side entrances. Echad Batzaf and Echad Badarim. One on the north, one on the left. Shabadarim Loi Nichas by my Olam. The southern one on the left. No one ever went in it. About it, it said explicitly in Sefer Cheskel, "Vayomer Elai Hashem." Hashem said to me, "says Cheskel, Hashar Zeh Sagur Yeh. This gate has to be closed. Lo Yipaseach. It's not allowed to be opened. Ve'ish Lo Yavoy Boy. A man's not allowed to go there. Ki Hashem L'Kei Yisrael Bavoy, because Hashem goes there. V'Hay Sagur, and it's closed. So the southern one on the left, was always closed. Back to the Kohen. Natlas Hamafteach. He would now take the key. Upasach HaZepeshpash. He would open up the side entrance. Nichas Alta. He would go into the little chamber, the little area that was there. It was like a little room, if you will. And then Umenata El Heichal. From this room, he would go to the Heichal. So he basically would now make a left, and that brings him into the Heichal, and he keeps on walking Achu Magil Shar Gadol until he reaches the Shar Gadol. So now he's in the Heichal behind the main door. He Gil Shar Gadol. Once he got the Shar Gadol, the main door, Hebir Sanegar, he'd remove the bolt, Vesa Paischais, and the locks that were there, Upsachin, he would open it. And there was actually two sets of doors, so he would open both sets, and Loi Hay Shechet HaShechet, the Shechet of the Carbon Tamid, would not Shecht it Ad Shmei Kol Shar Gadol Sheniftach until he heard the sound of the big gate opening. And we're going to learn in the next Mishnah that this sound of the doors of the Heichal was so loud it was able to be heard from very far away. That before the Karmel Tamid is shechted, the Kohen has to go into the Heichal. He goes in through the back door, if you will, and then he opens the large doors of the Heichal, and only once that sound of the doors being opened was heard, so then they could shecht the Tamid. Now we talk about this sound, and it turns out that it was very loud. The Mishnah tells us, Mi'irichai, hayu shemin kol shara gadol sheniftach, all the way in Yerichai, which was quite far away, they were able to hear the sound of the large gate opening of the Heichal. And once we're on the topic of Yerichai, hearing or knowing about things are going in the Mikdash, we continue with more things. Mi'irichai, hayu shem kol magrefa. From Mi'irichai, they were able to hear the sound of the magrefa, which literally means a shovel, but it was actually a certain type of musical instrument that was played by the Levim. Also, Mi'irichai, hayu shem kol ha'etz sha'asim and katin mukhani l'kiyar. From Mi'irichai, they were able to hear the sound of the wood that Medkatin, who's a kain gadol, made a whole mechanism for the kiyar. As we mentioned a little ago, the kiyar was lowered by this mechanism into a well. It was in the Azara, and when it was raised out by this mechanism, it made a lot of noise. They were able to hear that in Mi'irichai. Also, Mi'irichai, hayu shem kol gvini karoz. From Yerichai, they would hear the sound of Gavini, who was the Karoiz. He was the announcer. He would call out every single morning, Imdu Kayanim Lavadaschem, Kayanim stand up, go do Avaidah. And his voice is so loud and powerful, it traveled all the way to Yerichai. Also, Yerichai, Hoshaimin Kala Chalil. And Yerichai, they would hear the sound of the Chalil, the flute that was playing in the base of Mikdash sometimes. And Yerichai, Hoshaimin Kala Tzotzol. And Yerichai, they would hear the sound of the Tzotzol, which is like a bell or symbol of sorts. And Yerichai, Hoshaimin Kala Hashir. And Yerichai, they would hear the sound of the Shir, the Levim, when they were doing Nischayayin. And Yerichai, Hoshaimin Kala Hashifar. They would hear the sound of the shofar in Yerichai, and Yeshayahu and Rambam say, "Af kol shel kohen gadol b'shashu maskeres Hashem b'yom kippurim." They're even able to hear the sound of the kohen gadol when he said the shem hamafirish on Yom Kippur. Lastly, Yerichai, hamarichin reach pit maktayras in Yerichai, they were able to smell the katayras being blended. And Amar Rebbe Elazar ben Diglai, he says, "Izim hayu lebeis Abba b'har mechvar. My father's house had goats in har mechvar, which is very far from Yerushalayim. Oyim es atshoyz meirach pit maktayras. They would sneeze because of the katayras." And on to Mishnah Tes, continue to discuss the avodas of the day. Misha zochah b'dishim zayach panimi. Whoever was zaycha to clear off the inner mizbeach, nichnas, he would go inside the heichal. V'natal ateni, he would take this teni, this basket, v'nicha lefanav, and place it in front of him. V'hayo chayfein, he would take scoopfuls with his hand. A chayfein is like a whole scoopful of a palm. V'naisal soychay, and he would place it in this basket. That's talking about the ashes that were on the mizbeach hapanimi. He would scoop them with his hand. And ubachroina, at the end, when there weren't enough ashes to scoop with his hand, kibin es hashal soychay, he would just wipe the rest of the ashes off the top of the mizbeach into the basket. V'nicha, he would place it down. He would actually leave the basket there, the yatsa, then he would go out. Next, Misha Zach Bisha Menaira, the one who was Zaycha to clear out the Menaira. So Nichas, he would go into the Heichal, and here we have to be a little bit focused to understand what went on. So first of all, when a person walks into the Heichal, remember he's coming in from Mizrach, from east, and he's facing Ma'ariv, that's west. Towards the right is north, towards the south is left, and the Menaira was by the Darm, was by the south. So the lights of the Menaira were ranged from east to west. And so Nichnas, he would go in, walk up to the menorah. So here's option one. Umata shtei neres mizrachiyah is dolkim. If he found the two eastern lights still lit, they were still burning. Sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't. Here's a situation where they were still lit. As referring to after Shemin Atzadeh, because beforehand they always were lit. So he's referring to afterwards where they weren't always lit. But let's say he came up and they were still lit. So then Medashen es Hashar, he would clear out the other five lamps. He would take out the extra oil and the wicks and put them into the jug that he had. And these two that were lit, he would leave them lit in their place. And that's because, as you see, this very long Rav, there's a whole drasha based off of Menorah Psukim that actually Dishon of the Menorah took place in two separate stages, one before the Talmud, one after the Talmud, and then specifically the two eastern lamps, the two eastern lights that are supposed to be lit. So that's what he would do. He would only clear out the five and let those two remain. Now, Matzon Shekavu, if he found that they had extinguished, so first, before cleaning out the other five, Medashnon, he would fix up these two eastern ones, and he wouldn't actually be Medashing them, which literally means clear them out completely. He would just pull the wick out a little bit, take off that little black piece at the top of the wick, like that little charcoal piece, so now it's easier to light. And then, Umadlikim and Adulkin, he would relight these two eastern ones from other ones that remain lit, and there was nothing remaining lit. He would take fire from the Mizbeach to relight them. And once he relit these two eastern candles, then, Va'achach Medashen Zashar, he would clear out the other five lamps. And a little bit more about the Menorah of Evan Hoslefnei Menorah. There was a stone in front of the Menorah, Ubashal Shmalois, and there were three steps carved into it. Shalah Kohen Omen Mitzvah Zaneres. That's what the Kohen would stand on to clear out the Neres. Then, Vinechas Akuz Al Malashnia, he would take this jug that he had just cleared out the oil and wicks into and put it on the second step, the Yatzan, then he would go out from the Heichal. And then later on, we're going to learn about the basket of the Dishon Zanecha Panimi and this jug being taken out of the Heichal. And we're discussing the Karban Talmud. Mishnah tells us, they wouldn't take the lamb and tie it up like regular. Those would bring sacrifice for idol worship. They would tie the two front legs together and two back legs together. That's not what was done with the Talmud. Rather, Elam Akdenoisai, it was tied up like an Akedo, which is the front and back right leg and front and back left leg tied together. And Mishnah Zach Be'Evarim Echzenbay, whoever was Zaycha to bring the Evarim of the Talmud to Mizbeach, they would hold on to it. And Mekachai Akedosai, this is how it was tied up, meaning this is how it was situated when it was Shechted. Roish Ledarim, its head was facing south, meaning its head was facing towards the Mizbeach. Upon of Lamayrev, but its face itself was turned towards the west, which is towards the Heichal. And Hashoychet, Amir of Mizrach upon of Lamayrev, the Shoychet, the Kohen who's Shechting it, he would stand in the east, meaning his back was towards the entrance of the Azara, and his face was also towards the west, which is the Heichal. The Mishnah continues, Shal Shachar, Hayinishchat al Karen Svanis Maravis, the Talmud Shal Shachar, the one in the morning, that was Shechted on the northwestern corner of the Mizbeach, Al Tabas Shnia on the second ring, we'll explain this in a moment, where Shal Ben Arbayim, the afternoon Talmud, Hayinishchat al Karen Mizrachas Svanis, that was Shechted on the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach, also Al Tabas Shnia on the second ring. These rings were instituted by Yochanan Kohen Gadol. There were six rows of four rings each, that's a total of 24 rings, one ring per Mishmar of Kaihanim. That Mishmar, when they were serving the Beis HaMikdash, when they were Shechting Karbanos, they would use their ring. The ring was basically to hold down the neck of the animal while it was being Shechted. And so the Mishnah just told us is that in the morning, the Talmud Shal Shachar was Shechted on the second ring, meaning on the second row, on the western side, meaning closer to the Heichal, and in the afternoon, it was on the eastern side, closer to the entrance of the Azara, and Shachar HaShachar Kibal Makabel, the Shechet Shechted it, and the one who caught the blood, he would catch it, and then Balei Kerem Mizrachot Tzvainis, he would take it to the northeast corner of the Mizbeach, Vanosim Mizrachot Tzvaina, and he would put it on the northeast, basically he would splash it on the corner, and then it would go on the north and east wall of the Mizbeach. Then Marav Zdraimis, he would go to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, Vanosim Marav Zdraima, and splash it on the corner, so it would go towards the west and the south, and Shari HaDama Yishev HaYusai Zdraimis, the leftover blood was poured on the southern base of the Mizbeach. Mishnah Beis continues, now describing in great detail how the Karban Talmud was cut up into pieces and given to the Kayhanim who would be bringing it to the Mizbeach. So first of all, Mishnah says, Lo Hashev Rabayis HaRegel, he wouldn't break the back leg, meaning he wouldn't cut the back leg off of the animal before skinning it. That's what they used to do in like a regular butcher shop. And the reason why that couldn't be done is because the Talmud had to be skinned whole, so they couldn't just cut off one of the legs. Therefore, what was done, Ela Noikve Mitech HaKuvasa V'Toylebai, he would make a hole through its knee and hang it from that. Hoya Mafshit, he would start skinning it, V'Yarid and go down, till he reached the chest. Then once he got to the chest, he would cut off the head and give it to the kohen who was zeichet to bring it to the Mizbeach. He wouldn't bring it yet. That kohen would just hold on to the head, waiting for the process to be finished. Then he would cut off all 4 feet and give them to the one who was zeichet to bring them to the Mizbeach. Then he would finish skinning the animal. Then he would cut open the heart and take out whatever blood was there that couldn't be put on the Mizbeach. Then he would cut off the front legs, and give it to the kohen who was zeichet to bring them. Then all the regal haymanis, he would take the knife, go back up to the right leg, chatacha, cut it off, and give it to the kohen who was zeichet to it, ushtei beitzimima, and the two testicles came along with it. Then karoi, he would cut open the whole stomach, v'nimtza kulay galu l'fanav. Turns out that now the whole inside of the animal is revealed in front of him. So natal sapeder, first he would take the fats that covered over the stomach and the intestines, unusanal beishchitas harosh l'malon, and place it on top of where the head was shechted, since the kohen's holding the head with the open part facing upwards, so the fats were placed on that, covering it. Then he took the intestines and gave them to one who was zaycha, and he was now going to wash them out. Now, how are they washed out? So it really depends. The Mishnah tells us, the stomach, that was washed out in the beis medichin. It was like a special room where they would wash out the stomach. That's because since it had a lot of food left out in it, it wasn't washed with the other intestines so as not to get them dirty with all the stuff that was inside them. Now, v'akravayim, the other intestines, medichin osan shlesh upon b'miyuta, they were washed out a minimum of 3 times, and that's because they're very narrow, so it was difficult to get out what was inside of them. And where were they washed out? Al shachanos shel shayish shebeinu amudim, on these tables of marble, which we had spoken about beforehand, which were in between the pillars where the karbanos were hung when they were skinned. That's where the regular kravayim, besides the stomach, were washed out. Now, we're in the middle of learning how the kayin cut up the karban tamid and divided it up between the different kahanim they're going to be bringing it to the ramp. So the Mishnah tells us, Natal sak, and he took the knife, v'hefreshes a ram and a kaved, and he separated the lungs from the liver, v'etzba kaved ma kaved, and also the finger of the liver from the liver. The finger of the liver is some sort of lobe that sticks out of the liver. It's part of it. It's just sticking out of it, and that's also separated from the liver. But v'lo mizizim kaima, he wouldn't remove it from its place, meaning he wouldn't separate it from the body of the animal. Then nakav zechaze, he cut a part of meat from the chest, unsonal misha zachabai, and he gave it to the one who was zecha to bring it to the mizbeach. Then olo defen haymanis, he went up to the right side of the animal, hayachatech v'yared ar shedra, he would cut through the ribs until he reached the spine. But v'lo hayonegeh b'shedra, he wouldn't actually cut the spine itself, ad shumagil shteit slois rakois, until he got to the 2 soft ribs, which are the ones closest to the head. Then chatacha, he would cut meat off the right side, unsonal misha zachaba, and give it to the one who was zecha in it, and v'akavet tuliba, the kavet, the liver, was hanging from it. Then bali legeira, he came to the neck of the animal, v'niach ba shteit slois mekan, shteit slois mekan, he would cut through, but leave 2 ribs on this side and 2 ribs on that side. This is still the side closest to the head. Then chatacha, he would cut the neck off, unisonal misha zachaba, and give it to the one who had the schos to carry it. And v'akanev aleva rea tulimba, in this section, the kane, which is the windpipe, the lave, which is the heart, and the rea, which are the lungs, they're attached to the neck and they're all hanging from it. Then balo defen asmalis, he now comes to the left side of the animal, v'niach ba shteit slois rakas mel malon, he cuts it, but still leaving 2 soft ribs that are above, and this is the side that's closest to the tail. And ushteit slois rakas mel maton, there's 2 soft ribs that are below, that's closest to the head. V'kachayim minich b'chaverta, that's what he would leave on the other side as well, meaning on the right side. Nimsa minich b'shteim shtaim shtaim mol malon shtaim shtaim mol maton. Turns out that on both sides of the animal, right and left, he's leaving 2 ribs, both in the upper and lower part of the animal. And chatacho nusanol misha zachaba, he would now cut the left side of the animal and give it to the kain who's zeicha to carry it. V'ashadra imo v'atcho taliba, and now the spine was with this left side, and the tchol, which is the spleen, that was hanging from it as well. And v'hi ha'isa g'dayla, this side was very large, meaning it was larger than the right side because it had the spine attached to it. El shayimin karn g'dayla, but still the right side was called g'dayla, shakavet tuliba, because the liver was hanging from it, and that caused it to weigh more, so that's why the right side was called g'dayla. Next, bali la'ikets, he came to the ikets, which with fruits means the stem, with animals it means the back part of it, meaning the bottom of the spine, which is near the tail. Chaytchay, he would cut it off and sell misha zachabai, and give it to the one who's zeicha to carry it. V'alya, and the tail, v'etzba kaved, and this finger of the liver that we mentioned earlier in the Mishnah, ushtei klayos imai, and the 2 kidneys also went along with it. Then natal regal asmali, he took the back left leg, unsonal misha zachaba, and give it to one who's zecha to carry it. And so now we have all the kaihanim holding the different parts that they were given. No one's gone anywhere yet. They're just standing there holding their parts of the tamid. Nimtza, turns out, kulan amdim b'shura, everyone's standing in the line, veivarim biyadam, they're holding their evarim, harishan b'resh b'regel, first kain's holding the head and the right leg, harosh b'mina v'chatma klap izrayay, the head is in his right hand, and its nose is facing towards his arm, meaning it's facing towards the kain's body. The karnov and the horns, bein etzba isav, are between his fingers, beis shchitasa mil malon, and it's beis shchita, which means the place where its neck was cut, that's facing upwards. And if you remember, the fats that were from the inside that covered over the cut of the neck, and the right leg is in the kain's left hand, and the skin part is facing outwards because it looks much nicer than having the cut part of the leg facing outwards. Now hasheni, the second kain, he has the 2 front legs of the animal, the right leg is in his right hand, the left leg is in his left hand, and their skin is also facing outwards. Hashlishi, the third kain, he has the back part of the animal and the back left leg. Back part of the animal is in his right hand, and the tail is hanging in between his fingers. And the etzba kaved, again, which is like this finger of the liver, this lobe part of the liver that sticks out, and the 2 kidneys were with it as well. Then the back left leg was in his left hand, l'chot, and its skin was facing outward as well. Then Harvi, the fourth Kayin, b'chaz b'geira, he had the chest and the neck, hechaz b'minoi, the chest was in his right hand, v'hager b'smailoi, and the neck in his left hand, v'tzalisea b'in its ba'isav, and its ribs in between his fingers. Hachamishi, the fifth Kayin, b'shtei defanois, he had the two sides of the animals, shalimin b'minoi, shal smal b'smailoi, the right one in his right hand, the left one in his left hand, u'beis aron l'chot, and their skin is also facing outwards. Hashishi, the sixth Kayin, b'kravayim hanusunim b'bazach, he had the intestines, they were all in a bazach, which is like a basin or a large spoon of sorts, and the 4 feet were placed on top of these insides. Now these were all the kehanim that were holding the parts of the tamid. However, we have another 3 kehanim as well that were taking part of the tamid, as we see right now. Hashvi basoilis, the 7th kohen, was holding the flour for the mincha. Hashmini, the 8th kohen, bechavitin, he was holding the chavitin of the kohen gadol. And Hachi bayayin, the 9th kohen, was holding the wine of the nesachim. What's done now? Halchun sonim mechetze kev shel mata, they would go and place them on the lower half of the ramp in the Mizbeach, b'maravai, on the west side, which is on the left side of the ramp, u'malchum, and they would salt them. V'yardin, they would go down, u'balhem lishkas ha'gazes, and go into lishkas ha'gazes, likras es shema, to say shema, and other tefillas as well. And so now moving right on to Parakei Mishnah Aleph, armalem ha'munah, the Muna, the appointed kain who's in charge, he would tell them, barchu bracha achas, say one bracha, vein barchu, and they would say that bracha, this referring to the bracha of Ahava Rabba right before shema. It still wasn't light enough outside to say the bracha of Yatzar Ma'ayrois, and so they would say that later, and these brachas could be said out of order, and so they would say this bracha of Ahava Rabba, then Karas Haras HaDvarim, they would say that Saras HaDibrois, then they would say Shema, Vahayim Shemaya, and Vayoymer, then Brachos Ha'am Shalish Brachais. Literally this means they would bless the nation 3 blessings, but they actually weren't giving any brachas to the nation. It just means that they said the same brachas that everybody else said, namely they would say Emes V'yatziv V'avoida, which is Brachos Shema and Esri that we call Ritzei, and Ubirchos Kaihanim, they would say Birchos Kaihanim. This is not referring to standing on the Duchen and saying Birchos Kaihanim Yivrechecha Hashem V'yashmecha, as we're going to see later on. They just would say the Psukim of Birchos Kaihanim, and this is part of a Tefillah asking Hashem to accept the Tamid L'Ratzoin. And it was Shabbos, Moisifin Bracha Achas L'Mishmar Yotzei. When it was on Shabbos, they would add one more Bracha for the Mishmar that was leaving. Remember, there's 24 Mishmars of Kaihanim, and every week on Shabbos, that's when they would switch out the Mishmar. So when the Mishmar is leaving Shabbos morning, the Mishmar that's coming in says a special Bracha to them. The Misha Shikin as Shmoy B'Bayis Hazeh, the one who rests his name in this bias, who Yashkin B'Nechem Ava V'Achva Shalom V'Reyos, he should cause to dwell among you love and brotherhood, peace and friendship. And that's the last bracha they would say on Shabbos. So they kind of finished davening. They went for another round of pious, of lottery. And Armalahen, the Muna, told them, Chadashon L'Ktairis Bova Fisu. Anyone who's new to the Ktairis, he hasn't yet ever done the Ktairis, so his people should come and join the lottery. And that's because bringing the Ktairis was a school of for wealth for Ashiros, and therefore if a kohen already did it, he wasn't allowed to join. So Fisu, they did the lottery, Zachem Yishazacha, whoever won, he won. Then they make another announcement, Chadashim Im Yishanim, new ones with old ones, meaning if you're ready, Zaycha, you could still join, Bova Fisu, Mi Mal Evarim and Akev Shalom Mizbeach, who's bringing the Evarim from the ramp where they are right now, up to the top of the Mizbeach, where Shabbos Ben Yaakov, he argues and says, Hamal Evarim LeKevesh, Hu Mal Oysal Agab Mizbeach, whichever Kehanim were Zaycha to bring the Evarim to the Kevesh, so they're Zaycha to bring them from the Kevesh onto the top of the Mizbeach. Onto Mishnah Gimel, what happened to all the Kehanim that weren't Zaycha? They didn't win anything in the morning lotteries. They had gotten up early, they went to the mikveh, they put on the big tikkahuna, they washed their hands and feet from the kiyar, but now they didn't win anything, so what do they do now? As the Mishnah Gimel tells us, Misram l'chazanim, they were given over to the chazanim, who are like the assistants, they're the ones in charge of helping out over here. Hayu mashitin oysan is bigdein, they would take off the kohanim's clothing, v'lohim manichan aleim el mechassayim bovad, the only thing they would leave on them is their mechassayim, which is like their pants, their trousers. That's because it would be inappropriate to get them completely undressed, and only after they got dressed in their regular clothing, then they would take off their big tikkahuna pants, and v'chalonis hayu sham, their chalonis, which is literally translated as windows, but it was like some sort of closet or storage unit in Lishkas HaGazis, which is where they currently were, because of Alein Tashmisha Kelim, and was written on them all the different types of Kelim, meaning the types of garments, namely there were separate closets or separate cubicles for all the different garments of the Kaihanim, and each Mishmar had their own set as well, so there was a whole bunch of different cubicles and closets for the different Big Day Kahuna. And we continue discussing the Vada of the day now with the Ketaires. Mishazacha the Ketaires, whoever was Zaycha to bring the Ketaires, he would take a kaf, which is like a large spoon, this kaf was similar to a large tarkav made out of gold, and machzik shalosh's kabin, it held 3 kav, and that's actually the word tarkav. Tarkav is trey the kav, 2, and another kav, so it's 3. Now v'abazach, the spoon with the k'tiris in it, that was inside the kaf. The kaf is like a large spoon or a ladle or something like that, and the bazach is a smaller spoon. Mali v'gadosh k'tiris, it's full and heaped with k'tiris, and the reason why we had this small spoon inside a large one is because since the small one was heaped with k'tiris, and it was basically impossible to walk across across the Azara into the Heichal without spilling Keres, and that's not proper, so therefore there had to be a larger receptacle underneath to catch it. Now, the Kisui HaYoloi, it also had a cover to it to prevent any foreign matter like dust or something like that from getting inside. And Kohen Gadol tells us how Olav Mamalon had like some sort of ring on top of it to be able to remove the cover. Mishnah Hay tells us, Misha Zacha Machta, whoever was Zacha to bring the Machta, which is the shovel that had the coals in it, and it's important to note that this wasn't actually one of the lotteries who gets to bring the Machta. Rather, the Kohen who won the ability to be able to bring the Ketores, he would pick a Kohen next to him and say, hey, come and help me with the Machta. So that's what we're referring to over here. So this Kohen was picked to bring the Machta, not the Machta's Kesef, he brought the silver Machta of all Rosh Mizbeach, he went to the top of the main Mizbeach, and then he went to the pile of coals, which we learned about earlier in the Masechta, which was there, Dafka for the Ketores, he shifted the coals here and there, and he shoveled in, here he's taking out from the coals that were inside, and they were really hot and consumed and fiery, yard, then he would go down the ramp, he would then pour them from the silver pan into the gold one, and about a whole kav of coals scattered on the floor, and that's because the silver pan held 4 kav, the gold one held 3, that's because we want to have a heaping amount. The reason why it was shoveled out with the silver pan is because shoveling out the coals would wear down this pan or shovel, and so it's not proper to do that with gold, just stomp to ruin the gold, and therefore it's done with silver, which is stronger and thicker, then poured into gold. Now what happens to these coals that were scattered on the floor? They were swept into the Amma. This was a channel of water that ran through the Hazara, so these boiling coals were swept into there so they didn't burn anyone. And with Shabbos, what about on Shabbos when you're not allowed to extinguish coals? A psachter, which is like a very large kli that was turned over them so that no one stepped on them. And upsachter, a kli godom achzekes lesech. A psachter was this very large kli that held a lesech. A lesech is about 50 gallons, so that's quite a lot. Now, it actually had 2 chains on it. One of the kohen would use to pull this kli after him to go down the ramp. Another one, a kohen would hold above to make sure that it doesn't just roll down the ramp. And what would it be used for? It actually had 3 uses, this very large kli, this psachter. Number 1 and 2, it was overturned on these coals that were on the floor on Shabbos. And if a dead sheretz was found in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, which can't be moved, it's muktzah, so this kli was turned over it as well. And lastly, the deshen, which was the pile of ashes in the middle of Mizbeach, when that just got too much, so they would fill up this psachter with the deshen and use that to bring it off the Mizbeach. We're going to start for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Vav, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.